Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, God tells Moses, he tells him something. He tells him that, let me send you over to the promised land, the land that I promised you, and the land I promised to your forefathers. But he says that I will not go with you. Depart and go up from here, you and your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite. Now you see here, these interpreters of the Bible took the liberty of putting angel in capital A, implying that the angel was actually Jesus, but it wasn't. Because he goes on to say, in the next verse, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst. So if he says he's sending his angel and he's not going up, that angel cannot be Jesus, you understand? Because Jesus is, he's, you know, him, the fullness of, you know, of the Godhead bodily, as the scripture says in the book of Colossians. So it was just an angel. So he says, okay, I promise to send you to the land flowing with milk and honey, and you want to go, so you go. But I don't want to go up with you, because lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Now, it does not take, of course, the presence, actual presence of God, for the Hittites and the Jebusites to be destroyed. It just takes an angel to go and destroy them from among them. And I promise you the land, I promised it to your forefathers, but for you, you are so stiff-necked. But because I promised it to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. But then Moses says, and when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. Now, the funny thing is, if that was to happen to so many people today, there would be no point in them mourning. Because after all, they are going to the land flowing with milk and honey. So, and now here is what actually, you know, distinguishes certain people from others. Because, you know, that whole thing of the end justifies the means. So you say, after all, we are going there, and we are going to end up there. So if he comes, well, good. If he doesn't come, well, that's up to him. For us, we are going there. And now God, of course, God was testing them and how, what, like, you know, he went made to them. But you see, a majority of them, in spite of their stiff necks, were not happy. Because God said that they are stiff-necked people, and he said he's not going up with them. But somewhere along there, which is what I really want to talk about, is Moses said, how do we go without your presence? Because it is your presence which distinguishes us from every other, you know, people. What makes us unique from other people is that your presence is with us. Now, in the absence of that, and he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Okay? Now, that's a very powerful thing. Because God is speaking to them when they are in deserts, dwelling in tents, in temporary places, and everything about them was temporary. But he's telling them, I can take you to your perfect place which you want, but I don't want to go with you because you're stiff-necked. I might consume you. Then Moses says, we would rather be here in the desert with you than be there without you. Now, of course, that really is a test for everybody, because not too many people can pass this, especially of, you know, the people that, you know, who you encounter all the time. And now here is the temptation of the enemy, because they attempt to try to get you to a place which was promised you by God, but without God, you understand? So you become more interested in that land flowing with milk and honey than you actually are in the God who promised it to you. So, and God tests you and says, let's see if you really are serious about wanting me. So, go to the land it's okay, I'll send an angel, he will sort things out for you. And but I'm not going up with you. But see, he said, Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, then just let us be here in the desert. Would rather be in the desert with you than, you know, outside there without you. Then he goes on to say, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, I want, like, there is something which people have to understand in this generation in which we live, that you have to completely understand that there is the presence of God with you. And now this is not just like theologically, you know, of knowing, so I know the presence. No. Where you have to completely understand that you have a presence of God with you, and that makes you separate from any other person. And that means every place you go, there has to be a bit of separation. And now that presence, or that belief in the presence of God, means nothing, absolutely nothing, unless you can go and put it to the test in a world out there where you say, now this is what is going to make me unique, the presence of God. And now you say, now I've come here, I have come to conquer. And now you see, the funny thing is, what the scripture says one day, something which the Lord showed me, you know, out of the mouth of babes I have perfected praise. You find that this thing comes from people when everybody else is shying away from standing out and professing the presence of God, even people who should not be shy about it. You find actually babes being the ones who are doing it. And they are doing it unashamedly and, you know, putting it out there. I'll give you an example. You know, 2 weeks ago, there was this heavyweight fight between a guy called Tyson Fury and some black guy. Okay? Now, before the fight, I saw an interview between the two of them. And they were talking about their prospects of the fight. Now, Tyson Fury is somebody who's, you know, who is a believer. And everywhere he goes, his thing is Jesus Christ. And he does not say God. You know, God is a way of confusing. Because God can mean anything. But he says, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he does what? Everywhere. So, I even saw a comical thing after. When, sometimes, of course, he's a very funny guy. And where they met him and they were trying to interview him about the fight. And then he was in his car. And then this journalist comes and tells him, so what do you have to say about the fight? Then he asks him, you know, all these things. Then he's listening to the question, shaking his head. Then when the guy finishes asking, he says, but you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your family. You know, John, then the guy says, okay, and you see the guy is angry, then he says, okay. But so he lets him go through that whole scripture, then says, okay, now we've heard that. But now, what about this? Your opponent is this, and he says, you know, John 3:16 says, if you want, until he completely annoyed the guy, and the guy just left him alone.
Is that your reaction to what people who want you off the spotty shortlist?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
And what about you being stripped of your belt? Yes, I mean, you must be very unhappy with that. What's your reaction to that?
Jesus loves me, and he loves you too, and he loves you too. He loves these people in here, and he loves everybody in the world. All you've got to do is repent of your sins, and you will be forgiven.
And do you think you can win Spotty? Do you want to win Spotty?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and shall not perish.
Okay, Tyson. Any final message to those people who have criticised you in recent? There's been a lot of criticism from people in signing petitions to the Scottish National people, to all sorts of people.
Yes.
Just give us your take on it. Do you stand by your comments?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Okay, Tyson.
The only way is through Jesus into heaven. That's all I can say. The A to Z, the Alpha, the Omega. Tyson. Jesus is the way, the key, and the only way into heaven.
Okay, Tyson, thank you so much. Thanks for stopping.
Now, he was sitting there with this guy. Now, clearly, his opponent was a New Age person. So you're saying those things of, you know, there's another mini me who comes and takes me over when we're fighting, and that's why I'm sure. You know, New Age demonic things. They get a certain kind of, you know, there are things that are a bit similar to Scripture, but they take out Jesus Christ. So it's actually demonic. They present a spiritual reality without Jesus. And without Jesus, it's demonic. You understand? Without the redemption of Jesus Christ. So he was presenting certain things, you know. So they use some things, which actually some of them they get from Scripture, but they twist. Like that thing unto him, you know, to him who is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now for them, they take out to him, meaning to Jesus. Now they say there is a power that works in us. So they want to be their own saviors. You understand? So you're saying, so this man is saying that there's this thing which comes and takes me over, then what there is what? Some demonic New Age things. So now this guy is looking at him like this. And then he says, this Tyson Fury, the born again guy, said, that's what you believe in. Now 100% I'm going to beat you. There is no way you can beat me. And now he's talking 2 weeks before the fight. The other guy is actually a better boxer, I know. But he's saying, now if that's what you actually believe, a million times you're defeated. Because me, I believe in Jesus Christ. And my God cannot let me lose to somebody who believes rubbish like you. Then he said, now you're finished. He said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. What? Now the confidence with which the guy is speaking. Now here is somebody who doesn't know, not supposed to know too much. But he is putting his faith out to the test. And that's an interview watched by everybody. And he's saying, now you believe your New Age rubbish. Me, I'm coming here representing who? Jesus Christ. And because there is no chance. He said, you have no chance whatsoever. None. Because that's what you... Then even he's even disgusted. He said, now if you believe that now, this fight is even over. Because now, I'm thinking how many people can really go out there in the real world and present their God as there is no way you can beat me. As long as you don't believe what I believe. Now, of course, there was a time when we were all about theological arguments. Who has the better theology? Now nobody cares about your theology. You go out there, okay? And praise the Lord. I was seeing a list of people who are going to stand for what? And I was waiting to see if there is any born again person. Then I saw a few there. I said, maybe there's some little competition. If there is none, then I said, now, Chiwede. Chiwede. Like, there is no way. There is no way. No way. Like, the presence of God is with me. You understand? I don't just say it, I know it. I know I go places, and the presence of God is where? With me. Okay? Now, that is not a theory. Now, this guy, who is not supposed to even know too many things. He's just a joker. He cracks all sorts of funny jokes. But he actually, I looked at him and saw somebody who believes everything he says. Like now, if that's the rubbish you believe, that New Age rubbish, like you have no chance. This fight is over even. Now as if he's even disgusted. That now this fight is, that's why I said now, this guy. Now, so because of that, I was kind of interested in what? In seeing the result. Because suddenly I had the what? I stopped really being a boxing enthusiast those days. You remember, Tyson versus Holyfield, what? Now the thing is, it does not matter, by the way, if you come with a religious concept of the presence of God. Because I remember Holyfield would come with this gospel music, what? And he's hammered by Lennox Lewis, who was believing that same rubbish. You have to be convinced, absolutely convinced, that if I have God and this person does not, he has no chance. Now, that is the spirit of David, who goes and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, there are other people out there who have religious doctrines of how God of Israel, our God is superior to other gods. But you're running away before a Philistine. Then somebody who has the practical experience of it comes and says, no, how can you run away before an uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this man who dares to stand before the armies of Israel? Now, the difference between him and all the other Israelites, not that they believed in another God, they believed in the same God as he did, but his was experiential. It was not theological. It was not argument. So I got interested in the fight. So I go and see the fight. Now the thing is, anyway, I will not say that, but usually I'm inclined to what? to support blacks against whites, especially in boxing. But of course, now this white was a believer, and now he's on my side. So now I don't care about color, because now this one is. So I'm seeing the guy goes and does what? In the first round, he hammers the other guy's ear, and blood starts coming out of the ear. That's this Tyson Fury hammered the other New Age clown. Blood started coming out. Now what? If you know the balance, the body balance comes from what? From the ear. So the guy started walking like he's what? Like he's drunk. Now, in all honesty, the fight was over. But although it took 7 rounds, now in the 7th round he went for the same ear, and now landed on it properly. Then the other guy's side threw in the towel, because they were going to destroy, they can completely destroy your ear. So they said, why? Let's accept you've lost this fight. Now, I wanted to see what you would say afterwards. Now, after the fight, of course, now all the cameras of the world are on you. You're the heavyweight champion of the world, okay? So he says,
you know, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, those who bring evil against me will not prosper. I said, those who stand in the dark can never come into the light. All praise be to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ. Secondly, I just want to say big shout out to Deontay Wilder. You know, he came here tonight. He manned up. He really did show heart of a champion. I hit him with a clean right hand and dropped him, and he got back up and battled on into round 7. He is a warrior. He will be back. He will be a champion again. But I will say, the king has returned to the top of the throne. Big shout out. Big shout out. Top Rank. Big shout out Frank Warren, Bob Arum, MTK Global, Barbea, BT, Barbea Code at you.
Then he finishes, he gives all that, and you can see how people are disgusted, but he does not care. He does not care. Eh? Like, then, after he's finished that, then he says, okay, now I'd like to thank my trainer, my what, you know. Then he even gives credit to the New Age clown whom he's just hammered, and so on. Eh? Now, I looked and said, but one, these people, this guy is not supposed, but he knows something which so many believers would shy away from. How do you go? Now, I'm telling you this. If you really, really believed in the presence of God on you, okay, and you go to a place and you look, you know, somebody was telling me, you know, they are the, okay, it's just a, you know, those things, eh? That, you know, the way that Bahima believe that they are the only people, eh? That the other, the Bairu are not people, eh? So a person comes in a bus and arrives in Imbarara. Eh? Then says that Baba Mwaba and Twaba Babidibo. That there were only 2 people on the bus, and the bus was full. But the Bairo are not people. So says that man, can you imagine, we came in the bus, there were only 2 people. And the bus was full, but for him, but he hasn't seen them as people. You understand? Now, if people can believe that about rubbish, about heritage things which mean nothing, how can you not believe that about Jesus Christ? And saying that if I'm encountering a heathen person, I am going to have the same spirit of David that says, who is this uncircumcised person who thinks he can stand against me? Who has the presence of God? You understand? And you say, if God really is with me, then his presence is what separates me from everybody else, and what guarantees me victory in everything else. Now, that's actually what the Bible promises. Eh? That, you know, 2 Corinthians 2:14. That, you know, thanks be to God who has led us in, you know. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always, always, always. Now, how can you, if you believe that, it does not say sometimes. He says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Where is the triumph? Boxing, triumph. I'll tell you, there is a guy here who is one of us here. He's somebody who has been coming to this ministry a long time. So, he's a coach, a football coach. So recently he got a job with some team which is not exactly one of the high teams and what. But I told him, do you know of any other, you know, there who is like you, who has the presence of God? I said, oh, actually, most of them are witchcraft people. I said, now, it doesn't matter what's on the pitch. If it takes you hammering an ear in the first round for you to win a match, you just have to claim that thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. So I told him, now, you are there to dominate. So you say in football, I can see only one person. You'd be like those Bahima, that I can look at this one is what, all of them are witchcraft. Ah, I can see only one person. And you'd be like that guy. That's what you believe. Ah, you finished. Now, he says, always leads us in triumph. And then he says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of that knowledge. You understand? Now, this man is the actual embodiment of that, where you stand in a congregation of people who are kind of like, you know, who then you say, I am heavyweight champion of the world. You can't take that away. And it is because of Jesus Christ. Now, you're diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge. Okay? Of the knowledge of him. And now it's one thing to wait when you've won the match. But it's a different thing before the match. And you're saying there is no way you can win because I represent Jesus. And you cannot beat me because I represent Jesus. Finished. You're sealed. Now, if you were also representing Jesus, then now we really have to go and, you know, that's a different ball game. But now you are talking that new age rubbish. Ah. The guy, do you know what the guy said? He said, a million times you're beaten. Now, I was saying, this is some confidence. Praise the Lord. But now this is the kind of confidence we actually have to completely ingrain in yourself. And say, now, I told this guy, now in football coaching, you're the only person. The others are escorts. Like the other Bayiru who were in the bus. Of course, that's purely a joke, but you know, the others, Tuisha Tuliaba and Tuaba. Like only two people. but those guys, what? In a full bus of 70 people, but why she's seeing only two people? Her and somebody else. So, praise the Lord. Now, so I told him now, that whole field of football, I know it, because I was there for a long time, is full of witchcraft. Witchcraft. Do you know that there's something I saw? I remember when we were watching Cranes. Those days when they would struggle to qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations. And they were in a shootout with Zambia. Now, you know they make you even like hate your country. Now, do you know what the Zambian team were doing? Those who were not involved, the coaching staff and what? All of them held their hands like this and started praying as the penalty shootout is going on. Cranes, Ugandan people had, you know, heads of chicken and what and things like that. Actually, I said, now really, I would want to support Uganda, but the Bible says righteousness exalts what? A nation. Guess who won? Zambia. Righteousness exalts, but sin is a reproach to all people. Is a reproach. Now you think you're going to, like these people are, now I was telling one of my friends that actually they were praying. He said, no, they were celebrating. I said, they are not celebrating because it doesn't know anything about praying. They held their hands together, even the players who are not supposed to be part of the shootout, and they were there holding their hands, praying. Praying for the shootout. Now, that shootout, after, that was I think about 36 years. We win a penalty shootout, we go to Africa Cup of Nations. After 36 years. But people are there with heads of chicken, heads of what. And I knew the FUFA people would go and... There was a time before we played Kenya when they went and buried the what? A head of, I don't know something. In the middle of the pitch. I know that. Kenya did not need anything from the game. They could not qualify. We needed a simple victory. Balls were flying around the goal, but not one went in. Not a single one went in. Now, we are watching. Half time, man, we are killing them. Second half, it will be like 50 minutes, 60 minutes, 70 minutes. Balls are flying. None is going in. 80 minutes, 85, what? Until the guy puts up the thing. 3, injury time. Then we say, but surely, nothing. You buried the head there. Righteousness exalts what? But sin is a reproach to any people. They were so confident. So I told him, now that you've entered that field of football, go and dominate. So the other day they had a match against Vida, and his team is a small team. So he sent me a message, said, "Papa, we hammered Vida." I said, "Now you're beginning to dominate. Now your name has to come up, okay? And you have to end up on top. On top. There are things which are just built in a certain way." This I was talking with some gentleman. So he was, I was telling him he's a man of God. But he's telling me somewhere in Masakapla, "I'm planting, you know, now the rains, now we are sowing, what?" And I told him, "Hey, by the way, how is your," because he's a prayer man. So I told him, "How is your," he has this Vioto, you know this Vioto, what? So I said, "How is your Choto?" He said, "People are no longer coming because that they are poor, you know, people would come from different places and what, but now people don't have money." So I tried to bait him. So I said, "But why is that so?" So the man told me, "These leaders of ours, they want everybody to be poor, and they have designed it that way." So I told him, "But you Barukuri are the ones who support them." He said, "No, it's actually not us, it's our leaders who support them." Then he said that, then you went on to tell me, that Musajja Kanisa ya Jiroga. Those were his words, not mine. Then I told him, "But if you think so, how come when he called you to cricket over, you were one of the people who went?" Then he said, "Oh, Hank, I don't know. So me, I just found myself what? Myself going." Then I told him, now he's the one telling me, I'm just, you know, baiting him. Then he told me that, "You know, the truth is, the church was made to be on top. You understand? If it is not on top, it is irrelevant. I'll give you an example." He's the one who gave it to me. It's actually not my example. It is his. This is what he told me. He told me, "It's like the way the man was made to be the head of the home. If he's not the head, that home is headed for a crash." You understand? So people are trying to turn things around where, and you know, sometimes I say these things and feminists get angry. I don't care. You know, because we know we speak Bible truth. Eh? So the man was made to be the home, the head of what? Of the home. That's how it was designed. That's how God designed it that way. You understand? Eh? Now, if the man accepts to what God, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, people don't realize the first thing the devil did is he came and tumbled the authority. First of all, Eve was not made when God told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In that chronology, actually God formed Eve later. You know that, eh? After he had given that order to Adam, then he made Eve. Now, so Adam was supposed to tell Eve that the commandment of God is we do not touch that. And I'm sure he did. Now, here is the funny thing. When the devil came, he went to what? To Eve. Because he wants to first turn the order. Now, he sorted Eve, and let her sort the husband. Now, eventually, Eve is the one telling the husband to eat the fruit. It's not supposed to be that way. But now, what really opened my eyes to it is that when Eve ate of the fruit, man did not fall. Because she's not the one who had the commandment. If Adam had refused, man would never have fallen. It is when Adam listened to her and ate, it is the eating of Adam that caused the fall of man. You understand? So this man is telling me, now he's giving me all this wino. Eh? Now, but I don't know why he's telling me that, it's like now the church, unless it is on top, now a church which is subdued by politicians is useless. God never intended it to be that way. Praise the Lord. So when you have, now seeing the other day, the crowning of the Archbishop of the, you know, Anglicans, a man of God, that man, a man of God, born again, what, with a very powerful story, and somebody whom I believe, like, you know, is going to do a great job in that place, for the kingdom of God. But then, of course, they have to, you know, bring, you know who, to come and talk. And then he's the last one to talk. That's the worst bit. So he has the liberty to talk all the rubbish. And these days he has a lot in his head. So he comes and says, you know, Christianity, they found us when we had our religions. They said the only thing Christianity brought, this is what now the president was saying, He's the man I was saying was talking rubbish. Eh? Now, he's saying, you know, some people expect that I'm supposed to hide what. But it's not in my nature. Eh? Somebody accused me today of being, what? A political pastor. Not a political pastor. He said, if you don't want politics, don't come here. Because you see, we have to, this idea of the church is supposed to be hidden somewhere like some side dish. Eh? You know, and what? Who ever told people that? The church is supposed to be on top. God made it to be on top. Nowhere elsewhere, if it is not on top, it is useless. So, the guy is saying that the only thing Christianity brought was that when you die, you're raised from the dead. And that one, our, you know, traditionalism did not have it. Then he said the other thing they brought, according to him, is that forgive your enemies. Because for us, we used not to forgive our enemies. Would hammer you. You hammer me, I hammer you. So, now the man is giving that talk at the crowning of an archbishop. Then he says, for him, he believes in both. He believes in this and the other. You understand? Eh? And know what annoys me is when the church make yourselves like subject to such a fool. Eh? You understand? Eh? Now, the thing is, you lose your relevance. You absolutely lose your relevance. Can he go to his witch doctors and start telling them about Jesus? He does not. If he did, he would not be president, because that's where he gets his powers from. But he comes to the church and starts kujogaring you, telling you about witchcraft. How do you give somebody like that a pulpit? Because he's going to give you you don't even give them a penkoni. Pajero. Because he's going to give you a Pajero? It was a what? No, it wasn't 40M now. It was just, don't go Zara. It was a brand new Pajero. This man is... He has over Kuzara what did. No. Now. Oh my God. like I would rather walk on my feet, by the way, than actually put the name of my Christ in disrepute like that. But then, if my God cannot supply my need, and I need a witch to give me a Pajero, then at what stage do I believe that thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus, and through me diffuses the fragrance of this knowledge in all the place? So I come and say, okay, you go get your, I will get mine without subjecting myself to people like that. I'll get mine without any help apart from my God. You understand? Then, through that, diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I remember one time ago when Zoe was still at La Bonita. Now I remember Prophet had just come out of the place. So a certain pastor came chasing him and says, man, I just want to ask you one question. So he chased him, just said, now I want to go. He said, no, just one question. So he stood and listened to him. So he told him that, tell me one thing. So all this thing, now that was even La Bonita. He says, all this money that runs this fellowship and what? Can you assure me that none of it comes from abroad? It is all, you all get this by the hand of God? Then he said, yes, I can assure you that. Then the man said, thank you very much. I just wanted to know that. Now, it's okay. That's all I wanted to ask. Now, here is a pastor who wanted to believe God. But when he talks to other pastors, they are telling him you have to go to America and what. So, but he said, I want to see if there is one person who has that level of, you know, and the only person you can attribute it to is God. Because something in his spirit is telling him that, yes, you can believe God and get all that. But, you know, we all need one witness. Eh? So that's what he wanted to ask him. So he just said, now even prophet is standing at his car. He says, so
Just the hand of God. He says, yes, just the hand of God. Nothing comes from above. Nothing. Then he said, Webare nyosebo, chembadenja wakubuza. Now you can go. Then he went. Now that thing actually showed me, because I have been in churches for so many, and I've seen things bad. I've seen incredible things. Now, the other day I was in Imbarara, and I was talking with my friend whom I've known for so many years. I was preaching at his church last Sunday. And we've been friends for more than 25 years, okay? Because, I'm old like that. But, in charge, what? But anyhow, that's a joke. So the guy is telling me, actually now here is the funny thing. I showed my wife a picture of me 20 years ago. And she said I looked older then than I look now. And I told her that's the anointing. She actually said that. I said, Aisha, I said, man, you looked very old. That was 20 years ago. 20 years down the road, I look younger. Ah, man, pack a rapture, praise the Lord. Now, so this guy is telling me, one day he decides. Now, for him, he's a really man given to God. So he decides to call his pastors, and he has several pastors, and he says, let them come. And he wanted to buy for them bicycles to ease their travel, Sometimes they have to move places, and there are no taxis and what in those places, so they walk a lot. So he says, we are going to buy them bicycles. So he bought 400 bicycles, but there were like 700 people who were there. He's, pastors, so he said, now I'm going to give all of you, those who are in most urgent need, we have bicycles here for you. So they gave bicycles. But he called some of the other men of God, bishops from that place, from Barara. So they come there. So now when they gave 400, of course, there were people who did not get bicycles who were in need of them. So one of the bishops stands of another church and stands and says, if there are people who would have needed these bicycles, but they were, because of the shortage of them, have not been able to get bicycles, you come out, stand up. So like 200 people stood up. So he said, okay, I'm going to offer you bicycles. So he actually was true to his word there. He went into town to a place which Kusugura's them and came with 200 bicycles. But then he also came with cameras and what, and the whole camera crew. Now when he came, he told this pastor that I just want you to do something small for me. He said, what's that? Just speak about how these bicycles are going to help these people preach the gospel and so on. Speak into the camera and what. So he said, that's no problem, because actually they are going to help people preach the gospel. So they put the camera. He says, these bicycles are going to be very powerful and not going to help people. They will not be walking, miles to preach the gospel. What? So, of course, he also interviews a few excited pastors who had gotten bicycles and so on. So he says, okay, thank you very much. Bicycles gone. Now, my friend tells me after some time, he came and told him, man, the bicycles worked for me. What he did is he got the footage and took it abroad. And now he said, now, in Uganda, we need to buy bicycles for what? For pastors. And he said, a bicycle is $200. They were actually buying them at 200,000 shillings. And he said that this, if you buy a bicycle, you are going to be preaching. Every time the man rides your bicycle, God is blessing you to go and preach the gospel. What? So the guy came back, and he would have big audiences there. So he came back with a lot of money and came and told the pastor, man, that is the money which roofed my church. Then he says, oh, God, you want to call it day. Now, the truth is, I know that is how a lot of the church was that time. People knew you had to come up with some kind of gimmicks and lies and what, and somehow go and, take advantage of very gullible, or good-hearted, really. Gullible is not the word. Good-hearted bazungu. Because you're lying to them. But they are giving money which they need just because they really want to be involved in that. So you're taking advantage of their good heart. And you're not doing... So, and that's and I saw when I looked around, let me tell you, when I got born again in 1992, I actually started preaching the gospel immediately because that was a part of me. But then I realized one thing. I got there, I've told this before. The one thing that made me first cheat it
was the big question was, how do you preach the gospel and earn a living? Because I was seeing the things people were doing, and for some reason I was never raised to be a Muferi. Like it is so, like I would see things people are doing, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Then you look around, I'm not going to do that. But then those things have been made mainstream. Eh? This is how it works. Now, if you want, so what? If you don't do this, what are you going to do? So I said, no. Now, at that point, I was at crossroads, absolute crossroads in my life. And living a very lowly life and at crossroads. And how am I going to preach the gospel? Now, you know, you're happy to preach the gospel, but then you're saying, how do I combine this with what? Earning a living. Eh? Then somehow, I think the Lord realized that it's not yet. So an escape route came out of it. And God sent me somebody who came and told me, who I used to study with in Namiriango. And he was a year ahead of me. And he knew me that time to be a very good writer. And he knew it because, kind of the whole school knew it, that I was good at writing. So he came and told me that, why don't you go and join the media? I said, but I've never studied media. He said that you don't have to have studied media. Now, that was the biggest revelation I ever got, believe it or not. Eh? Because if I want to be a journalist, I have to go and study journalism. I didn't have money to study journalism. I didn't even have money to pay rent of 30K a month. So where was I going to get money to go and study journalism? You understand? Eh? But this guy said, you know, you don't need that. By the way, I used to, like my biggest expenditure was paying 30K rent in Kamocha. Somewhere behind the market somewhere there. Now, I stayed there. Now, when I moved and started, there was a newspaper called The Crusader, which none of you know because you're all very young people. Because it became defunct in 1999, before some of you were born. So, no, some people were not born in 1999. So, I know it even shocks me when you find some date of birth, 1999. I say, then you look and say, man, so 1999? Now, because for me, 1999 sounds like what? Yesterday? Because, now, anyhow. So, I went to that newspaper. Now, I remember when I was there, I would go and would write and do things that, you know, news, sometimes you finish late in the night, like 10, 11, and so, like 11, you know, midnight. And some people were staying in places where there were no taxis. Now, me in Kamocha, no problem. Eh? I could move anytime because I would just stage here, Katari. Eh? And then I slope down. Now, the funny thing is, there would be a car to drop us eh? Home. And they would drop you home where you stay. But there is no way I was going to let them come to where I stay. So I'll tell the guy, Monsure one, tukutwala kantia, leave me here. They said, no, we are taking you. I said, what's your problem? Leave me here. So they would leave me some distance away from home. Then I first even stand and see that the car's gone. Then I start walking. What? Walking to my car. So that whole culture of Buffet and what took hold at that time. That's when I left and said, let me go and earn a decent living. Thankfully, God made a way. And thankfully, I had the skill, but also the presence of God. The presence of God. Because somehow when I went there, I stood out very fast. And even when the newspaper folded, like about a year and a half after I'd been there, the newspaper folded. But somehow, I'd made a bit of a name for me to go to, you know, bigger newspapers. But anyhow, so now this man comes and he wants to know that, can we really believe God and have, you know, a decent living? And that's his question. And now he wanted, his faith is telling him yes, but all he wanted from prophet is, can you assure me that that's what, now, if you tell me yes, then I will also go and believe God. That's what I needed to hear, okay? Because you find that he's in a crowd of people who believe you have to do like that man of Bugari, yeah? Or even worse things than that. Yeah? That's not the worst thing that has been done. Yeah? I've had worse things than that. So, and I've seen, witnessed worse things than that. So, at least here he invested in what? 200 Bugari. Yeah?
there was at least a bit of an investment. Of course, there was a return on investment, which was surreal. Praise the Lord. Now, here, but my point is, if your God cannot lead you in triumph, even financially, do you really believe that you have the presence of God? If you have it, can you believe that you cannot be defeated by anybody, by an uncircumcised Philistine? You understand? The same person who all the other Israel 40 days see him, and they what? They flee. He comes out and says, "You servants of Saul." Then they take off. But now David comes and says, "But who is this?" Like, look at that change. That they believe in the same God, but David's God is experiential. Now, here is what the Lord wants to communicate to you today, that there is a way you can actually put all these things into practice. And until it is functional in your life, and you know, I cannot lose to somebody who does not have the presence of God. It's impossible. And it is not just speaking, because it's easier to speak and easier to get into a theological debate. But if you really believe it and you start putting it into practice, okay, in small things, like we are going to compete for the same contract, then you look around for an interview. Maybe you're going for a job interview. Then you say, "What is your name?" "Muhammad." "Okay. No. This is my job, Chued." Now, if you find another born again person there, then you say, "Okay, maybe now there's what? There's competition." But if I not want nobody, now this is over. Like, and you know for sure that thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. And through that, so wherever you're going, through whatever your endeavor, you believe that there is no way I can be beaten by somebody who does not have. Now, the funny thing is, actually, I find people of occult believing these things more than believers, more than believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in that thing of theirs so much, so much. And I say, how can these people who serve, how can somebody say that somebody bewitched the church? The church bewitched? Didn't Jesus say that the gates of hell will not prevail? Didn't he say that? So how can a church be... Now, let me tell you something. That time I saw that after that Rugogo, when the president called those pastors, some of them came from as far away as Karamoja and what? Kotido. Jumped on a bus. Now, some of them had transport to and fro. They did not even have transport from the park to Rugogo. So they walked. So now when I was driving, coming from, I'm seeing a horde of pastors walking. Very disappointed. They did not even give them lunch. It wasn't enough. Did you know that? They had to go to game to buy Safi. Okay, not Safi, but those splash. Can you imagine? He has not eaten. He has not what? Like they went to game. The sumbus has gamed. They bought all the sumbusas at those supermarkets. There was not enough. So the guy came hungry and went back hungry. And Bambi fasted what that day, and. Now, and I'm saying, the book of Ecclesiastes says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know the exact scripture, but I'm sure they will pick it up here. He says, I saw something like, I don't know what he called it, but something which was not right. He says, I saw princes walking on their feet and servants riding horses. Now, this is what has been here. Like, prince, who is a prince? Isn't it a child of God? Now, the prince is the one walking on what? Feet. And now, I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. This is what the church has been like. Where is it? Where is the scripture? Ecclesiastes 10:7. This is what the church has been like. But let me tell you, each one of us has to have the attitude that I'm telling you about. For this, and say, no. A servant cannot ride a horse. when a prince is walking on what? His feet. Who are the princes here? So don't allow in your business, in what you say, how can this guy take the tender from me? I am a priest. He's a servant. And that's, it's as simple as that. And let me tell you, believing these things, you require a certain level of arrogance. Eh? And entitlement. Isn't it? Because God gives you, sees there is a land which has people who have built houses and says, I've given you that land. So, but there are people there, say, yeah, but I'm God and I've given it to you. Just go and drive them out. They are waiting for you to drive them out and you live. Now, and then he says, you live in houses you did not build. Who said that? So if you have this religious, you know, humility, which deprives you of your God-given entitlement as a child of God, you actually give, you become a prince walking on feet. And servants are passing you by on what? On horses. Servants come and pass you by, for you are walking on feet. Praise the Lord. So we cannot let this sort of thing happen in our time. Eh? Princes have to walk on what? Manya, princes have to ride horses. And servants walk. That is the natural order. The church has to be on top. And everybody, every other person. And remember I told you that time, that scripture, which Isaiah chapter 2, the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be exalted above every other mountain. Mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. This is the order. Now, for the nations, let's read this next verse. All nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, for this to be possible, okay, you have to have, the people out there have got to believe that you have something superior to them, for them to come to you. You understand? If you're running to witches who are in political office, then they're not going to run to you. You have to first demonstrate that what you have is superior and has taken you somewhere. Now, the time for arguments ended. Now, tell me something. The time, if that guy whom I told you about, this boxer guy, if he goes and hammers everybody by the same theory, eventually people come and ask him, what is your secret? Now, all the other people come and ask the mountain of the Lord's house. We know you're not a good boxer. I've never seen a boxer, by the way, he has tires around his what? I've never seen a boxer like that. He's unfit. But he has Jesus. And anybody who knows sport, who has, follows those things, the guy has tires. I would actually qualify to be a boxer more than him. But the guy is a heavyweight champion of the world. And now imagine if he continues winning, or even like this other coach of ours, if he goes and wins the league from a lowly team, at what stage do people come and ask? Now he says, oh, people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house. Because he's the one who has solutions. The things we thought were working are not working. Now, they have to first see that you have something superior. Otherwise, they don't come. And for them to see, you cannot desire anything they have. You have to be sure of what you have. And say, like Moses said, that it is the presence of God that distinguishes us from all other nations. What makes us sure that we are going to take over the land? The presence of God. What is it that gives us a sense of this is our land? Because the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Now, until you have that, it does not, you know, if your presence does not go with us, not bring us up from here. Because it goes to say, I'll read it again. How then shall it be known that your people have found grace? How then would you know that I am a servant of God unless I can come and demonstrate to you that you can't beat me? You can't. Because I represent a kingdom that is superior to yours. And that kingdom is backing me. How do I get that kingdom to back me? By just declaring. Okay? Declaring who I'm representing. You know, that's what David did. You go to that scripture of David and Goliath. You know, you have to declare. You have to come and declare. Now, the way that guy said, me, I have Jesus, I'm here, I'm going to beat you 100% beaten. He says, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Do you know that Jews call Gentiles dogs? Eh? So this man was in the answer. What do you answer, Mokolachi? They say, Jews call Gentiles dogs. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cast David by his gods. Okay? Then the Philistine said, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, now here is where you declare where I stand. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, but and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, who did he defy? What is David saying there? That the Philistine defied who? You see, now you are putting God's reputation behind you. So you're saying, no, it's not me you're fighting. I am here representing the armies of the living God. You have defied my God. So suddenly, by stating that, you have made the whole of the host of heaven invested in your victory. Because God's reputation is what? Is at stake. So you say, I come here representing the kingdom of the Most High God. Now you come here representing your Philistine gods. Now, this result is going to show which kingdom is superior. Now you've taken yourself out of the equation and you've put God right there. Amen? And now, the armies of the living God whom you have defied. Then he even says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air. And all the earth may know that there is God. Not that I am powerful. Not that the principle of giving glory to God, like I'm putting somebody saying there before a fight and saying, I have to win because you're representing new age rubbish. And I'm representing Jesus Christ. So you have lost, finished. And I looked at the guy, even me, I said, man, this guy. But now, you see how you get God interested in a boxing match? Praise the Lord. And by the way, that's it. Then after, you give him glory and say, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, not this God. You say, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus. I said, now this is the kind of man who should come and be, you know. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when people understand the prophetic generation in which we live, and they understand that there is the hand of God can actually be on somebody in a way that even when they make mistakes, they cannot fail. Amen? You don't have to be doing the right thing all the time. You know that when the scripture says that all things work together for good, for those who love and who are called according to his purpose, who are in their purpose, who are doing what they were called to do, all things work together for what? Now that's a very, very powerful thing. All things, like even when you make a mistake, you take a turn you are not supposed to turn, all things work together for good. Now imagine if that was actually not just some theological statement, but was something you actually believed. I made a mistake, but it's going to work together for what? For good. I should not have done that, but I'm waiting for the good that comes out of it, for my mistake. Praise the Lord. Now in the book of, remember that story of Micaiah and the prophets? It's 1 Kings chapter 22, I believe. 1 Kings chapter 22. Just for background, but I'm interested in much less of us. Now, 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. And he says, then it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to the servants, to his servants, do you know that Ramoth of Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. Now, you know this story, don't you? How they called me, all the prophets came and said, the Lord has said, go and deliver. You know what? Then they said, no, but let's wait for the real prophet. So they called Micaiah. Then when Micaiah is coming, he comes. They tell him that, you know, everybody has, all the prophets have agreed that these 3 kings should go. So please don't spoil the party. Just agree with them.
Then Micaiah says that, I will say what the Lord tells me to say. Now they arrive there, and Micaiah says, you go. The Lord will deliver it into your hands. But then Ahab says, why don't you tell us the truth? Because he can see, why don't you tell us the truth? Then he says, anyway, here is the truth. You want the truth. I saw the armies of Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd because their king had been killed. Now, the prophetic word had gone out. Now, let's move out to verse. Okay, let's start from verse 30. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. Say, I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you put on your robes. Now, you see how he's setting him up. Because all the warriors want to kill the king. So he says, for you put on your robes so that they come for you. Okay? But for me, I'll disguise myself. So the king of Israel distinguished himself and went into battle. But this guy disguised himself. That is Ahab. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of Israel, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel has disguised himself. That is Ahab. And the Syrians know that it is the king of Israel, it's Ahab who just got Jehoshaphat and another king to go. But it was actually his battle. He's the one who wanted to come and attack and get Ramoth of Gilead. So he says, don't fight anybody small or big, just go for the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Now the man, he has been set up. He's not the one they're after. It's actually Ahab, but Ahab is not dressed as a king. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Bambi, you know, the Lord protected him because, of course, Jehoshaphat had the fear of God. Now, I want you to get this scripture in another translation. These modern ones. The New Living Translation, verse 34. An Aramean soldier, however, now here is a man who is disguised. But there is a prophetic word that he has to die. But he's disguised. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israeli troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Now, that is even more spectacular than David versus Goliath. But because at least David was targeting Goliath. But what are the odds, number one, that somebody just randomly shoots an arrow, randomly? Number two, you know the way they used to tie their armor. There is this part, there is the two breastplates. In the middle, there is a very small string, empty place here in the middle, which is held together by either ropes or something. Now, that is the man randomly shot an arrow, and the arrow went to exactly that spot between his armor and killed him. Like when there is a prophetic word, you will do random things. And you will hit bull's eye. Random things and you hit bull's eye. Bull's eye. So you say, you've killed the king of Israel. I didn't even know. Where is he? And your arrow went straight through that adjoining in his armor. Between the joints of his armor. Turn the horses and get me out of here. Ahab groaned to the driver of his chariot. I am badly wounded. Now, I want you to know that any other place he would have survived. Because, you know, they have this, you know, they had this thing which covers here and so on. The only area where he was a bit vulnerable was like a small strip tying this thing. And that's where this random arrow hit. Now, anyway, the battle increased and the king was prepped up in the chariot facing the Syrians and died at the evening. Anyway, the word of the prophetic word had to be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when I have a prophetic word backing me up,
What are the odds of a random spear? It would be hard enough if it was targeted to hit that place. It would still be a miracle, like David versus Goliath. If the man said, let me go for that space, and he found it, that would still be a miracle. But the man did not even go for it. He just hit a spear in the general direction of the armies of Israel. And he scored. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, knowing that as it is, how can you not believe that the presence of God distinguishes you from anybody and makes your defeat an impossibility? Praise the Lord. How can you not apply that in your life? There was a time when churches were into, you know, theology. This is what you believe, this, you believe that. No. Now the time for that kind of theological debate is over. Now it is results. Show me your results. Praise the Lord. People have theories on different kinds of prosperity, how to prosper, what. And you see, it's only in the church where somebody who has no results will argue vehemently with somebody who has results. In the world out there, they know better. You cannot get into business and start arguing with Sudhir how to become a real estate mogul when you have just one house somewhere in Chebando. You understand? Everybody says, "Are you?" But now you see somebody who, in church, somebody who doesn't even have money for lunch, who will come and he's arguing with them. No, that is not true. The scripture says this. What? Now the time for that is over. We know what. Okay, you know the scripture. Show us your results. Amen? Show us what? Now, you know that the presence of God is with you. I want you to go and show me, come with results and say, now I went for this job interview. And I asked all the guys around, I was the only one who is what? I was the only one there. I was unopposed. But the interview room is full of people. But you say, you ask, I'm the only one there. There was only one person. In the whole thing. And you're confident that because the presence of God is on me, I am being distinguished. And I have to go now. If you forget and just go and... It's very easy, just as easy, to decide to go and be just one of 80 people applying for the job. And you lower yourself to that level. But by just having these scriptures in mind, you distinguish yourself and say, no, the presence of God is me, and this is what distinguishes me from every other person. Now I'm here to get this job. These other people are just escorts, because it would be corruption if they just called me. So this is all part of the process. But at the end of the process, there's only going to be one person receiving the what? The appointment letter. And that is me. Now there's a guy I know, who they went for one interview and he was second. Second. Now, they said the winner will be called for the job. Now, on the day they were supposed to call the winner's phone was stolen. So they called him, they gave him 1 day, 2 days. Of course, he hadn't replaced it when you don't have a job. So they said, they called the second. And now the second got the job. Then this guy went and said, you know what? You said you'd call me. So sorry, we called you and your phone was not on. So when he comes to complain, this guy who had decided he has the presence of God was already seated on the desk working. Praise the Lord. That's how you distinguish yourself. By believing that who always leads us in triumph. Always leads us in triumph. Always. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Because in so doing, that's how the fragrance of his knowledge is fused in all the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Miriam, your authority in the spirit is increasing.
Rika mazonto roshe. You're going to a higher level. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zida masata lava shoromo zenta lava si. Rika marazanta lava sokromo zante lava shira mazinta. Roko razanta lava shira mazinta lava shira mazinta. Rika mazinto roshe shoram. Now I'm seeing somebody who has like serious back problems, back pains, serious back pains, and like, you know, really troubling, and sleeping is a real issue. With if you are that person, come forward. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe. He's somewhere here, seated somewhere here. Rika mazonto roshe mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe. Rika, you're the one. Okay. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe. Go forward. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe mazanta. Sile mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe mazanta. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zonto. Rika mazanta lava shoromo zonto roshe mazanta. Rika mazanta roshe mazanta roshe. Bakrama. Now I'm hearing the Lord saying capital, capital, because there are some people who have been looking for capital to do businesses, and now the Lord is releasing that. You just stand up. Stand up if you really have something which you have cooked properly, but you just say, I just need capital to kick this thing started. Rosa la makrazan torbo sharamazo, rosida mazin torbo sharamazin, rekamazin talva shoromazan talva shorom, sile makrazan torbo sharamazin talva, rekamazin torbo sharamazin to. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Rekamazan tarlasi torma sharamazan tarla sakramaz rosha lamazan televisi ke marazin torushan rekamazan torushan ramazan ta rekamazan tarba sharamazan te rekamazan tarba sharam. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that stiffness in Jesus' name, and that pain and those spasms in Jesus' name. I decree that now, from this time onwards, your back straightens out. In the name of Jesus. And now even that bend in your spine. Sorry? Down, okay? But are you going for an X-ray? Okay. Okay, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sorry, kamazanta leva shoro. It is done. It's done. It is okay. Now you'll be able to sleep without a problem. You'll be able to sit without a problem. To drive without a problem. In the name of Jesus. And you feel it. You feel it. Sorry? When you're driving. Okay. It's gone now. In the name of Jesus. It is gone now. In Jesus' name. Rika mazanta lava shoromozon. Rima zanta lava shoromozon. Toro sheremazanta lava. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Because you release capital for... I thank you because you release capital for people in this place. In the name of Jesus. Something supernatural, where you know that the hand of God, in these coming weeks, where you approached and there's an interest in what you're doing. I'm talking about a number of people here. There's an interest in what you're doing. Now, some of you even, like, you've already even tried to pitch it, and somehow there's not been an interest. And you've struggled to interest people in it. But now something happens in the name of Jesus, and there's an interest in what you are doing that comes up and transforms your what it is you want to do. Riyamazanta lava shoromozon toro sharam. Rekamarazita rama shoromozon toro sharamazanta kram. Rekamaramazon toro sharamazon toro sharam. Now, I don't know why I'm hearing this, but I'm hearing that when you get capital to start your business, do not tithe it. Okay? Do not tithe the capital. Because some of you would get into problems. Now, this is what I'm hearing. Do not tithe the capital. You can come and tithe the profits and what. But this is an instruction for today. Do not do it. Because I'm seeing there's somebody for whom it would cause a serious problem. Like where people you lose the people who are working with you lose trust in what you're doing because they gave you something and you gave it into, so that's an instruction I'm receiving here today. Ramazan talaba shakh ramazon torbo shira mazan tarbashar rela santarba shokh ramazon torbo shira mazan tarbashar
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Somebody say, I receive my capital. I receive my capital in the name of Jesus. I open a door for you. I open a door for you to receive it here by the word of the Lord in a way that transforms you in the name of Jesus. And you move up. And you move up. And you walk the word of victory that has been implanted on you today in the name of Jesus. You actualize it. You put it out there. In the name of Jesus, it is implanted right there in you. You walk with it. You walk with the fullness of the realization that the presence of God is upon you, and that distinguishes you and makes you unlike any other person. Unlike any other person. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you for each and every person who connects here today. I thank you that we thank you, Father, that you always lead us in victory in Christ Jesus. And through us, you diffuse the fragrance of your knowledge in all the earth. Father, we thank you because through our victories, you are victorious. And you lead us in victory so that the knowledge of you and the knowledge of your kingdom and the superiority of your kingdom and of your church is diffused throughout the earth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I thank you, Father, because for each and every person here who gives, I pray, Father, that they see an increase, they see a multiplication, they see an opening of doors in the name of Jesus. They see favor in terms of traveling. There's somebody who wants to travel, but there's a lot of things you haven't sorted which are financial, not visa-related, but financial, you know, what, this, that, where I'm going to stay. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because that is sorted. In the name of Jesus, now you're going to get like a call telling you about how somebody is taking care of that, how they're taking care of the people where you're going, but they haven't just told you, but you'll learn in a few days from now that they will take care of that. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that. Now, somebody is planning to buy his first car in the next few days. You actually have some money for it. But then the car you want to buy is a bit more than actually what you have, than actually what you actually have. So, in the and now, there is a topping up that is coming because you are about to settle for something less. Now, the Lord is telling you just lift up your thing a bit, and you'll get actually what it is you want. Now, this person, it's his first car, your first car, and there's one which you have in mind. One which you have in mind. Okay, now there's somebody else I'm seeing here, a lady, but the person in your life is having problems with, he's having erectile dysfunction, and it's bothering, it's upsetting your like relationship. He's having problems, you know, functioning in the normal manly way. Now, in the name of Jesus, he's not here, you're here, but you're going to receive something powerful for him in the name of Jesus, and to manifest powerfully in the name of Jesus. Rika mazon toro shara mazatel va shor mazet rika mazantel va shor mazon toro shira mazet rika maya razin toro shika mazet arama razantel va shor mazon toro sile mazantar va shor mazon toro shan sekem razan rika mazantar va shor mazan rika mazant. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa.
For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.